Okay, so we're going to try to develop Ace's personality a little bit. I'll just review quickly what we did last time. But last time we went through the beginning of Toldos, which was the story where Esav sold the Bechorah to Yaakov, right? And we went through a little bit of the development of Esav there. And one thing that's like going to be relevant for this year is the idea there that, like Rashi says, Yaakov was cooking in Azira Dashim because Yitzchak was in Avelis then, because Avram had died, right? So that was when they were 15 years old. The day that in the beginning of the of Toldos was the day they were 15 years old, Avram had died, and Esav had come in from the field, and he was a Yaf. He had had a run-in with Nimrod. We went through, and he had killed Nimrod, taken his clothes. That's not really the main point here. The main point there is to make is that was the day that Avram had died, when Yaakov got him to sell the brachos. Okay, but now we're going to pick up towards the end of Toldos. So let's start with the very end of Perchavav Lama Dalad. It's right before the it's right before the brachos. The beginning of Toldos, where Yaakov took the Bechor, he sold the Bechor to Yaakov. But on the end of Chavav, Pasuk Lama Dalad, it says, Vayhi Esav ben Arbaim Shana, Vayikach Isha es Yehudis bas Be'er Yachiti, Ves Basmas bas Elon Achiti, Vatiena Moras Ruch L'Yitzchak L'Rivka. So right before the brachos, the Torah gives us a little introduction to Esav, that he marries these two women, and they're Moras Ruch L'Yitzchak L'Rivka. And Rashi says, Moras Ruach, he says, Lashon Hamra'as Ruach, Kama Mamrim Hayisem, Kol Maseim Hayuli Tzavon Liyitzchak Rivka, Shay Ovdos Ovdazara. So that these two women that Esav married, his first two wives, they were not really great people. They were Canaanim, and they worshiped Ovdazara, and therefore Yitzchak and Rivka were agitated by it. They weren't happy with Esav's choice of who he wanted to marry. So of course it's his decision who he wants to marry, but they weren't happy. Okay, then we have like this, then we have the story of the brachos, right, where Yitzchak wants to give Esav the bracha. Rivka overhears. She tells Yaakov to go in there and, you know, switch, pretend to be Esav in order to get the brachos instead of Esav. Okay, and after that, all that occurs, and Esav comes back, he finds out. So Rivka tells Yaakov, Rivka tells Yitzchak, let's see, it's Perek Chaf, the end of Perek Chaf Zion, Vatomer Rivka Pasuk Mem Vav, Vatomer Rivka Yitzchak Katzdi Bechayai. Right, so I'm like disgusted with my life. Mipnei benos Ches, because the daughters of Ches who were Esav's original wives, or his first two wives. Imokeach Yaakov Isham knows Ches Keilim knows Aretz Lamalichayim. So why am I even if Yaakov marries a girl, like if he marries somebody like Esav married, so then why am I even alive? Okay, it's awful. It's an awful, awful existence. So Yitzchak hears Rivka's advice. Vayikra Yitzchak el Yaakov Vayvarchosov Vayteveh Vayomer La Losikach Isham knows Kenan. Right, kum lech paden aram beis v'suah v'imecha v'kach lecha misham ishem nos lavan achimecha. So he tells him to go and take a wife from, not from the benos Ches, not from the benos Canaan, but to go to Lavan. And that's really parshas Vayetze goes into that. Now like this. Now Esav in Perek Chaf Ches Pasuk Ches. Okay, this is where we're going to really pick up here. Vayar Esav kiros benos Canaan be'enei Yitzchak Aviv. So Esav realizes that Yitzchak does not approve of these women, right? He sees that they're not good. Okay. So what does he do? Ra'al Rashi in that pasuk mechuber l'niyamal. So relating to what happened earlier. Vayar Esav kiberech Yitzchak v'gomer v'chishalach osa paden aram. He saw. Esav saw what Yitzchak did for Yaakov, and he sent him to Paddan Aram. V'chishom Yaakov aviv, Yaakov listened, v'halach Paddan Aram, v'chiroz benos Kenan, v'halach gamhu yishmal. So Esav realizes he wants to take a different wife, besides the original two, and somebody Yitzchak would approve of more. And he goes to Yishmal, So Pasuk Tes continues, Vayelach Esav El Yishmal. So Esav goes to Yishmal. Vayikach Es Machlas Bas Yishmal Ben Avraham. So he takes a granddaughter of Avraham, not just a Stama Shikza from Benos Kanan, right? Machlas Bas Yishmal Ben Avraham. Achos Nevayos, who was a sister of Nevayos. Right? Who's Nevayos? We don't know anything about him except that he's her sister. Well, the Torah actually counts him in the tribes Yishmal. But the sister of Nevayos, Al-Nosha of Lolisha. So he takes her on top of his other wives, in addition to them, as a wife. Okay? So before we go into the Rashis on these psukim, I'll show you the problem. And I'll show you the Medrash, and then we'll see the Rashis, okay? So first is, so who is, what's her name? Her name is Machlos Bas Yishmal Ben Avraham, Achos Nevayos, right? Good? Machlos. But if you look in Parshas Vayishlach, towards the end of it, when the Torah recounts the whole genealogy of Esav, right? So at the end of Vayishlach, so it's Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Gimel, right?
Picture.
Yeah.
The picture.
Oh yeah, you don't have to even look. Okay, so Perek Lamed Vav, Elatolus Esav Hu Adom. So Esav Lakach Es Nasha Bimnos Kanan Es Ada Bas Elon Achiti Ves Alivama Bas Ana Bas Sivon Achivi. So his first two wives. Ves Basmas Bas Yishmal Achos Nevayos. Okay, so the Torah gives her a different name. Okay? So in Parshas Toldos, it calls her Machlos Bas Yishmal, then Avraham Achos Nevayos, right? But in Parshas Vayishlach, it says Basmas Bas Yishmal Achos Nevayos. Okay, so what was her name? Right? So far the problem? Okay, good. So before we get to Rashi,
people have tons of names.
People have tons of names, it's true. It doesn't mean you can't be Dorishit. You know? The Medrash likes this kind of stuff. Everybody's name has a reason. It goes like this. It's the last Medrash Rabbah. It's the last Medrash, okay? It's Samach Zion Yud Gimel. Okay, so Medrash is like this. Vayar Esav Kiroz Benos Kanan. Vayelech Esav El Yishmal. Right, so it goes to Yishmal. So it's like this. Yabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar. Nasan Daitil his Gayer. So at that point, Esav had in mind to convert. Okay? This Gayer is an interesting Lashon, but it means to like do tshuva. And even though at that point he had kind of been, since the Brachos had gone to Yaakov, and Yitzchak had given the Birchos of Ram, basically Yaakov had stolen his Brachos, and Yaakov had taken the Birchos of Ram from Esav. So Yaakov was really the one who was set up at this point to really be continue the chain of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and this is really the point where Esav got kind of kicked out from the whole lineage, the whole genealogy, the whole right from Birchas Avram. It was supposed to be Avram, Yitzchak, Esav, and because of Yaakov's chachma, his mirma, his trickery, right, where he basically took the brachos in his place. So Yaakov was the one, at this is the point, at the Brachos, where he took the Brachos, that's where Esav basically got kicked out of Klal Yisrael. So he had in mind to do tshuva, after he basically saw that Yitzchak had told Yaakov to go get a wife from Lavan, and he realized, Esav realized he lost the Brachos, he had in mind to be Mizgair, to convert, to do tshuva. Okay? Machlas, why is the Torah call her Machlas? Shemachalo Kadosh Baruch Hu al kol v'nosav, because a Kadosh Baruch Hu forgave him on all of his sins, because he is going to do tshuva. Okay, so his machlas is mochal, to forgive. So he's really had in mind to be his guy to do tshuva, and the Torah calls her, changes her name from Basmas to Machlas, to show you that he is really forgiven for his sins at that point. Okay, Basmas, or why, or the other way. Why was she called? Maybe her real name was Basmas. Why was she called? Well, maybe her real name was Machlas. Why was she called Basmas? She is Basma Daito Alav, because it became like it is Bosim. It's like a good fragrance. So guy, his Das Daitnis Yaishva Alav Lutova, the fake pair is Rashi on the bottom here. It's not really Rashi. Okay, so it became a, like it was also, it's like became a settled or be proper. It was the same thing, the same point. Either one or the other showing you that Esav at this point had in mind to do real tshuva and he was forgiven and it was a good thing. Okay, that is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Okay. Amar Rabbi Elezer, Ilu Hotzi Esirishonos Yafahaya. If he had divorced the first two wives and gotten rid of them, the Benos Kanaan, the Chiti and the Chivi, those two bad ones who were worshipping Vodah Zarah, then they would have been Yafahaya. That would have been very good. Ela Al Nashav, but the Torah doesn't say that. It says, Al Nashav Lo Leisha, in addition to his other wives, right? Kaiv al kaiv. It was like a wound upon a wound. It was like worse, made it even worse. The fact that he didn't divorce the first two and he took this one, it really was an act of rishus, and it really made it worse. Okay, worse? Because by not divorcing the first two, he was like adding to the original. Why does it make it worse?
Like
I guess.
Well, it's like a tarova. It's like maybe more. More iser.
I guess so, but I mean, Tarus is one analogy, but I mean, just to know, not bad. The analogy they're having is like a wound. It's like you hit a wound, you know, makes it worse. But I mean, simply is like there was a certain family dynamic that Esav already had because with his two wives. And by this girl could have been a good girl for him. She could have really helped him. He could have really done tshuva. And if he had divorced the first two and started again with this girl, it would have been good. It would have been tshuva, and it really would have been very nice. You Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would have been right. But the fact that he brought a third wife into a pre-existing dynamic, so then the other wife, which was a dynamic of Risha, so it was a bad family structure. So now this other wife kind of like fit in. It just like builds upon an already evil foundation. And like, yeah, it makes it bigger, but you're building upon an evil foundation. It just makes it more evil. It doesn't make it you can't change that. He had to really destroy his old life and start again, but he didn't. He just took her in addition, and it really made things worse. Okay, Al Nashav, it made things worse. He really he made a bigger building, but since the whole thing was corrupt, it just made things worse.
Maybe I'm missing something. Like, when did the third wife come along?
The first two wives are when Esav was 40 years old.
Oh, there was the first two. Those were the.
The Vodah Zarah ones. Right. Those were when he was 40. This last one was when Esav was 63 years old. Okay.
Okay, fine. And this was the one
that the machlokes is whether it was a good thing. He's doing tshuva. He was bigger than his guy here.
Okay.
Or do you say that no, is really he made things worse by doing it? Because the fact that if he had divorced the other two and he had gotten his daughter Yishmael, right, the granddaughter of Avraham, it would have been a good thing for him. But since the argument of Rabbi Elezer is that since he didn't do that, so by adding this woman, she just changed the dynamic, but since the whole foundation was evil, it was just making it worse. It just made things worse. It didn't make things better. The potential was there, but it didn't actually become realized.
If he had divorced his two wives.
And then taken this girl. Right. Yeah. It could have been a good marriage, a new life, a new family, and everything could have been fine. It would have been Mochel and Mizgayer. Maybe he could have joined up with Yaakov and not have become Esav HaRasha that we come to know. But since he didn't do that, it was bad.
Wait, who says that would have been a good thing if he, you know?
Had he done that? Everybody agrees. Well, Rabbi Elezer, the one who holds it was Nosson Daitil Hiskayer, right? That was, that's Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. That was like, he did Shuva. And Rabbi Elezer comes in and argues with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He says, you would have been right, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. You would have been right if he had divorced the first two. But insofar as he didn't, it wasn't a good thing. It made things worse. Okay, and like the Perushim on the Medrash learn it's a machlokas, right? That's the Is Yosef says, the fake Rashi on the Medrash says that that's a machlokas, right? So it's I say fake Rashi, it's not really Perush Rashi. I don't know why they call it this, but they call it Rashi.
Wait, what does worse mean in this context?
It made things worse.
Yeah,
it means his evil increased.
His evil.
Yeah, his family life, his structure.
He's more immersed in his own.
Yeah, he's building an evil empire. So you make the empire bigger, you have more. That's what he did. He built an evil empire. So we'll get to him. So he just made a bigger evil empire. So it's like he just by making it bigger, it doesn't necessarily make it. It makes it worse. You're increasing it. You're making it bigger. But since you didn't destroyed from the foundation, you can't add on a good girl into that situation. She herself became corrupted. I mean, we don't get speculative, but, you know, she'll
so
become...
that's the worst thing?
This extra girl made things worse.
I don't get what worse
thing. But they think...
Bigger, you're expanding it, making it, you know, it's like a small evil empire is not so bad. A huge, big evil empire. It's worse.
I don't let go.
Okay. Okay, we're going to go, we'll see, we're going to, I mean, it's hard to speculate exactly, but I mean, that's how I'm learning. If you guys have a different, I'm willing to hear a different possible shot. But in the interest of moving, let's move. Okay, now let me show you Rashi. Okay, so it's Machlokas. L'chor, it's Machlokas. From the Medrash, it's Machlokas. The problem is like this. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, okay, first of all, how do you know how old he was? He was 40 years old when he first married, that's opening the Pesukim. The first two girls, the Kipinos Kanan, he was 40 years old. The Pesukim say he was 40 years old, right? But how do you know how old he was now? So this is a Rashi, it's a Pasuk test. It says, Achos Nevaios. So she was the daughter of Nevaios. So why does it tell us who her... So she was a sister of Nevaios. So why does it tell us who her brother is, right? Esav's new wife. So Rashi says, Mimashma Shinemar Bas Yishmal in Yodeshi Achos Nevaios. So once she tells me, you tell me that she's the daughter of Yishmal, of course I know who, right? I know Nevaios was Yishmal's son. And if she is Yishmal's daughter, so of course they're brother and sister. Why does the Torah have to tell me? Okay. So Rashi says, Elamdenu Shemis Yishmal, that Yishmal died at this point. Mishi Adena Le Esav Kodem Nesu'eha. So Yishmal designated her for Esav. Okay. And then Yishmal died. Before Vihisiya Nevaios Achaha. And then Nevaios, her brother, had to marry her off, walk her down the aisle, because Yishmael wasn't alive anymore. Okay? Ulamdeinu shall Yaakov Bosaperek ben Samach Gemoshanim. So we learn from there that Yaakov was 63 years old at this point in time. The story of where Yaakov got the brachos, he was 63. And basically, the Rashi continues. You could figure out from, we know how old Yishmael was. We know if Yishmael died at this moment, how old Yaakov must have been. And basically, you deduce from all there, it's a long Rashi. Basically, Yaakov spent 14 years learning in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. That's where the whole Shem Ve'Ever that he learned for 14 years comes from this medrash, this idea that Yishmael died at this point, okay, when Esav got married to this girl. That's how we know that if you assume Yishmael gets married at this, Yishmael dies at this point, and you work out all the years, you come out, there's a 14-year gap in Yaakov's life. And that's where you say, where was he 14 years? He was learning Torah. Okay, I'm not going to go into Yaakov. We're learning about Esav now. Okay, we're trying to follow Esav's life. Okay, fine. That's just how we know how old he is. We'll come back to that Rashi. But now the last Rashi in Toldos says Al Nashav, Hosif Risha Al Rishaso. He added evil to his prior existing evil. Shelo Gerish Harishonos, because he didn't divorce the first ones. Okay, so it's Al Nashav. He's Dorish. It means evil is worse. He made things worse. Hosif Risha Al Rishaso. Okay, good. So Rashi Lechor is going like the second position of Rabbi Elazar, that since he didn't divorce the first ones, Shalo Gerish Harishonos, so therefore it was Hosef Rish HaRishas. So he made it worse. It was really Mice of Rishas. Okay. The problem is like this. Rashi in Vayishlach on the name of Machlos. Let's see if we can find it here.
How do you put this together?
Who?
You. This is like,
how do
you find all this stuff?
I don't know. The footnotes. Okay, Rashi says like this. He says, Basmos Bas Yishmal, right? Basmos Bas Yishmal Achos Nevaios. So Rashi says, Ulaholon Kori La Machlos. But in the Parshas told us, it calls her Machlos. Why is it calling her Basmos over here? Matzina Begadas Medrash Sefer Shmuel Gimel Mochlon Hem Avonoseim. So there's a famous medrash that three people are forgiven for their sins. Gershon is Gayer, Veha'ola Ligedula, Vehanosi Isha. So three people are forgiven for their sins, right? Ger converts, somebody who's promoted to a certain prominent position, and somebody who marries a woman, gets married. Ve'limed Hatam Mikan, and they learn out, they learn the source that Avonosi Isha is forgiven from over here. Lekach Nikros Machlas, Shinimchlu Avonosav. So why was she called Machlos? Because he was forgiven for his sins. He got married to her. Right? So the problem is that's the first Shita. That's for Yeshua ben Levi. So, I mean, look, it's Machlokas in the Medrash, it seems. right? But besides the fact, it's just a steer in terms of, like, what is it? Is it Hosef Rishal Rishal? So, like Rashi says in Toldos, Shelo Girish Rishonos, it was really a more evil act. He made it, he was evil before, he became even worse afterwards. Or do you say, no, it's, you learn from this case of Esav marrying Machlas Bas Yishmael, that he was a Mochlan Alvanosav, it was, he forgiven for all sins, he married this woman, and it was a Mechila, and it was a good thing. So which one is it? Right, Rashi in Toldos has one opinion, and in Vayishlach he has a different opinion. And I'm just saying, not only is it austere conceptually in the Rashi's, but it's open medrash that there's a machlokas going on here. Or it seems. Okay, so that's the problem. How is Rashi learning this medrash? Good? Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. So now, on Rashi over there, also, Achos Nevayos, Al Shem Shehu Nahisi Elomi Shemesi Shemol Nikos Al Shemol. The Torah does the same thing. It focuses on Nevayos again. Achos Nevayos. That's why he calls her that in Toldo, in Vayishlach. Okay, now before I give you my answer, because you're not going to like my answer if I give it to you right now. You're going to think I'm crazy. So first let me do something else, okay? We'll do, we'll skip ahead in time. We'll skip ahead to after the story of, okay, so Yaakov runs away. We'll just summarize a little bit. He goes to Lavan for 20 years. Right, gets married, has a lot of kids, decides to come back, and he sends right to Esav. Esav and him meet up. We have a whole parshas Vayishlach. Yaakov survives, and basically, what do you have here? And basically, the end of parshas Vayishlach before it goes into Esav's. The whole genealogy of Esav. Yaakov goes back to Yitzchak, right? It's Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Chav Zayin. Okay, we're going to deal with it. It's a whole second story. We'll put them together at the end. Okay, Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Chav Zayin. Vayavo Yaakov al Yitzchak Aviv. Right after missing from Yitzchak, he was missing for 36 years. Right, 22 years, 20 in Lavan, 2 in after Lavan, and 14 in Shem Ve'Ever, right, long time. Mamikiris Arba Hu Chevron, He Chevron Asher Shagar Sham Avram VeYitzchak VaYu Me Yitzchak Mea Shana Meshmonim Shana VaYigva Yitzchak VaYamas VaYesef Elamav Zakin Tzvayamim VaYikbro So Esav Yaakov Bana. So Yitzchak dies, and Esav and Yaakov bury him. Now, when did Yitzchak die? Right, so in Mukta Mukhar B'Torah Rashi says this is actually it's about 8 years, I think, after Yosef was sold. Right, the Torah just tells us about Yitzchak's death, but really, if you calculate Yitzchak's life, it was really after Yosef was sold. Okay, you go ahead.
I just understand what the question that you're about to answer is that is who she was.
Who was?
Basmas was.
No, not yet. No.
Oh, I'm saying. What
am I doing now? I'm doing a whole other story, and I'm going to try to answer that original question based on this whole other story. Forget everything. Forget what we just did. I'm starting again. Start fresh. Okay, I'm just showing you. After Yaakov and Esav meet, right, Yaakov goes back to Yitzchak. You just gotta get the storyline, you know, or else there's no pshat if you don't get the story. Okay, you gotta know the sequence of events in the Torah. So after Yaakov and Esav meet up, Parshas VaYishlach, the whole confrontation, and Yaakov comes out unscathed, right? So then he goes back to Yitzchak. They live there for, I forgot, it's like 12 years. I forgot exactly how long it is. Maybe it's a little more. And he lives there with Yitzchak, and then Yitzchak dies, and Yaakov and Esav bury Yitzchak in Chevron. That's where they were living. Okay? Now we have... Okay, good. Okay. Now... That is basically the only recorded time after Yaakov and Esav split up that they meet again. Okay, it's going to become important soon. Now we have by Esav. It says it's Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Vav. Okay, so the Torah is telling us about Esav. It says Vayikach Esav es Nashav es Banav es Benosav es Kol Nafshos Besov es Mikneyov es Kol Bemtoa. Okay, so Okay. So he left Eretz Yisrael. Esav leaves Eretz Yisrael, it's Canaan, where Yitzchak was, and he goes to Seir because of Yaakov, his brother. Right, the Torah says, "Ki haya rechusham rab mishavas yachta v'lo yachlars megurim aseso some neimiknehem." Torah gives us an open reason in pshat. Okay, vayishav Esav b'har Seir Esav hu Edom. So Rashi says like this: what does it mean? V'lo yachl eretz megurim. Right? So the simple pshat is lahaspik mir lebehema shalhem. They had so much animals that it wasn't just was enough room in Eretz Canaan to provide for the grazing for all their animals. Okay? Obviously, the problem is with the simple pshat and the pasuk is like how rich were they? Like, Eretz Yisrael is pretty big. I mean, it's not the biggest land in the world, but like, it should be enough for like Esav and Yaakov to be able to like work something out. You know what I mean? Like, the entire country is not big enough for Esav and Yaakov's cattle. But that's the pshat and the pasuk, okay? But in Medrash Agadah, the Medrash explains it differently. What does it say? Mipnei Yaakov achiv, mipnei shtar chov, shel gzeiras ki ger yezarecha. Because of the debt, the shtar chov, the debt contract of the bris band of Besarim, ki ger yezarecha, that Avraham had signed with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hamutal Azaro she Yitzchak. That was incumbent, basically, was on the children of Yitzchak. It was going to be, right, Geria, the children of Yitzchak are going to have Geria Zerecha, Barzalem, Avdivino Samar Meoshana. They're going to have to go into slavery and they're going to have to live as Gerim and foreigners, not on their own land, 400 years. Okay, so it was this was hanging over the head of the Avos. They knew this was going to happen at some point, right? So Esau basically said he didn't want that. Amar, Eilech li mikan, I'm out of here. Okay, I don't need Eretz Canaan, I don't need to be here. Ein li chayek lo b'matana shenasla aretz azos lo b'rana shtar. Okay, I don't want a part of the matana of Eretz Yisrael, and I don't want to have to pay off the shtar. Okay, I'm not going to get Eretz Yisrael, but I'm not going to have to pay off the shtar of the shibud and the avdus and the suffering for hundreds of years. He didn't want that, but you know, so he's willing, look, I don't need the reward, and I don't want to have to go through the punishment. That's Mnei Yaakov Achiv. And also because of it was embarrassing for him that he sold his Bechora when they were, you know, 15 years old, the day that Avraham died. And he sold his Bechora. It was a very embarrassing thing for Esav. Everybody knew he sold it for a pot of stew. That was an embarrassing thing for him. So living with Yaakov, because he sold it, it's a funny combination Rashi puts together, of the Busha, the embarrassment that he sold the Bechora, plus he wasn't interested in the bris band of Basarim, the suffering of Avdus and being in Galus. He didn't want to have to deal with that of Ger Yezarecha. So basically, he abdicated, he left. Okay, Bnei Yaakov Achiv, and he goes to Seir. Okay, when exactly does this happen? It's not open in the Torah, but I'll show you all when I think it did happen. Okay, one more thing, and then we're ready. Okay, so if we got the stories?
Yeah.
We're good? Okay, fine. Now, one more thing is like this. In Parshas Vayigash, okay, we're almost there. The important thing is you got to remember the stories. The stories are... Okay, Vayigash. So after... I'm not going to do a whole little summary. It's too much at this point. Vayigash. So Yaakov...
So wait, the Star Chov... I mean, that's not just like a little point, but the Star Chov was the... was like... was that was the punishment that was like the obvious and all that?
It wasn't a punishment as much as it was like a prerequisite
of getting
Eretz Yisrael. That was the bris. That was the deal that Avram made with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Is Avram's got his end of the bargain is that his children are going to be in Avdus and they're going to be foreigners, 400 years. You know, the Avdus was actually much shorter, but whatever. They didn't know that.
Yeah.
And in the end, they're going to get Eretz Yisrael. That was the deal. So he said he didn't want. He didn't want basically Eretz Yisrael. He didn't want the have to go to Avdus.
Right.
So that was his deal, and he got up and he left. He left Eretz Yisrael and he went to Seir, and he became a great nation, Edom. Right. Edom became ultimately Edom turned into Rome. Right. That was the whole Romans. Chazal identified with Esav, and right, a lot of he became a great nation, Esav, but not the grandson of Avraham. But okay. So now, okay, so we're in Vayishlach now. So basically, Yaakov, after he's going down to Mitzrayim, this is where he's going to fulfill the bris band of Asarim, Yaakov is going down to Mitzrayim. So it's Perek Mem Vav, Pasuk Vav. Okay. Vayichu, right, as they load themselves up, right, as after Yaakov and Yosef sends up the wagons, the brothers convince Yaakov Yosef is still alive, and Yaakov's going to go bring all his money, bring down everything he has, bring it down to Mitzrayim. So it says like this. It says, Vayichu es mikneim ves rechushim asher rachshu be'eretz Kanaan. They took all the money and all the cattle that they had acquired in Eretz Kanaan, which is the problem. Why does it say asher rachshu be'eretz Kanaan? Just say, take all their money. Why does it say asher rachshu be'eretz Kanaan? Okay, but that's what the pasuk says. Vayavo Mitzrayim, when they come into Mitzrayim, Yaakov v'chol zar ito. So Rashi says, asher rachshu be'eretz Kanaan, he says, Avomash Rachash Padan Aram, but that which he had acquired in Padan Aram, Nasana Kol Esav. He gave it all to Esav. Vishvil Chelka Bamaras Machpelah. Because of Esav's Chelik, his portion in the Maras Machpelah. Amar Nichse Chutzlaritz Eni Kedaili. Nichse Chutzlaritz, the money I made in Chutzlaritz, I don't need them. And he gave it to Esav for, he bought off Esav's portion in the Maras Machpelah. Okay, v'zeu asher karisili. In Parshas Vayechi, we don't need to see, it's the same Rashi, very similar Rashi. It's he says the Mara asher karisili. He's telling Yaakov, saying, bury me in the Mara Masa Machpelah. He says asher karisili. So the question is, what does the word mean? So either means I bought, or asher karisili is hemid lo, that's carry, means like make piles, right? Kri hemid lo tziburin shel zav v'shel kesef k'min kri. He basically made piles of gold and silver in front of Esav. But Amr lo toseilu says, take all this money and it'll be in and I'll get the chelik of the Maras Machpelah, right? And Esav took it. Okay, the Gemara in Sota, right, talks about in when Yaakov died, they tried to bury Yaakov in the Maras Machpelah. It's Gemara in Sota Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So it says that when they brought his Yaakov's sons brought his body to be buried there, so Esav came. Esav was still alive at that point. And Esav said, hey, what are you doing? You can't bury him in the Maras Machpelah. Each of us, right, he buried Leah there. Right? The other one is mine. Right? And he said, what do you mean? You sold the Bechor to Yaakov when you were 15 years old. He's saying, not the Bechor, not the double portion. He's just saying, forget the Bechor. We're each two sons of Yitzchak. We each inherited Yitzchak. He gets one portion. And there's only two portions left. There's only two spots left. And he gets one, I get one. He buried Leah. Yaakov buried Leah in the Maras Machpelah. Now there's one spot left. That's Esav's. So Esav wants to be buried next to Leah. Right? You know this medrash or no?
No.
Oh yeah. So that's Esav came. He was Ma'ara. He said, that's not due. What right does Yaakov have to take the two spots? He Leah for one and him for the other. Rather, one's for Leah. He wants to use it on Leah, fine. But the other one's Esav's. Right? He's a Yoresh of Yitzchak as much as Yaakov is. Why should Esav not get one of the burial portions, right? He inherited Yitzchak. So they sent Naftali back to get the shtar. They said, no, you sold it to Yaakov, and we have a shtar. So they sent Naftali back to Mitzrayim to get the shtar to prove it. In the meantime, right, Hushim, the son of Dan, got upset, hit Esav in the head, and he killed him, or maybe Yehuda killed him. It's not clear. Tosu says Yehuda killed him, ultimately. And they ended up burying Yaakov in the Maras Machpelah. But Esav really sold it. They had a shtar, and Esav really sold it over here. Because from Asher Karisili, he basically Yaakov bought off the Maras Machpelah from Esav. Okay, good. Now, when did this occur? Okay, I'll tell you what I thought, but then it turns out there's an open Tanchuma. Artscroll found this for me. Okay, thank Artscroll. Okay, when did this occur? When did Yaakov buy the Maras Machpelah from Esav? So Rashi doesn't really tell you. Okay, but it seems to me like this: is it can't be when they met in Vayishlach, in that confrontation. It can't be when he gave him the whole mincha, he gave him all that money. It can't be that he gave him all his money, because it says all the possessions that he made in Padan Aram from Lavan, he gave to Esav. So if he gave all that money to Esav in that encounter, so then he would have zero money left. He would have nothing. But the pasuk says, Vayavo Yaakov Sholem Yershchem. It says, Sholem B'mamono. So he certainly had money at that point. He was, right, he had some money. It wasn't totally poor. He bought from Shechem, he bought a field. So it couldn't be at that moment in Vayishlach when they first encountered each other where Yaakov's coming back from Lavan, it can't be when he bought the Maaseh Machpelah from him. Right? So when must it have been? Because we only find one other time in the Torah where they met up. And that was when Yitzchak died. So when Yitzchak died, and it makes sense, Yitzchak died, the Torah says Yaakov and Esav buried Yitzchak in the Maaseh Machpelah, right? So when they're in the Maaseh Machpelah, they just bury Yitzchak. Yaakov takes some gold and some silver, he piles it up to Esav and says, hey, you know, there's two spots there. You get one, I get one. I'll buy the second one off of you. I'll get both, right? And here's the money, the Kesev and Zahav. And Esav takes the deal. Okay, it turns out there's an open Tanchuma. Tanchuma says it. That this Rashi, these stories of when Yaakov bought it was the day Yitzchak died. Right? When Yitzchak died and they buried him, that's when Yaakov sees the opportunity to buy the Maaseh Machpelah, that portion, from Esav.
Why is that an opportunity?
Oh, okay, good. Good. Why am I saying it that way?
Yeah.
Okay, good. We're good. That's what we're going to get to, exactly. But that's, okay, so that's the story, that he bought off the Maaseh Machpelah from him. Okay, and after that, Ramban says he's not sure when exactly that, but after that, after Yitzchak dies, and Esav sells out his chelik, the Maaseh Machpelah, so then Esav says, you know what, I don't need this whole thing. I don't need the Maaseh Machpelah, I don't need to be buried with Avram and Yitzchak, I don't need the Shtar Chov of the Bris Bein Basarim. He gets up and he leaves. Right? That was really the final breaking point of Esav. Yitzchak dies. Yaakov gets him to sell the Maaseh Machpelah. Esav is embarrassed that he sold the Bechor. The Bechor originally when they're 15. And he doesn't want the Bris Bein Basarim. At that point, Esav gave up everything. Okay? When Yitzchak dies, right? This is in Yaakov's around 108 years old or something. Yitzchak dies. He sells out of the future in terms of the Maaseh Machpelah, his eternal legacy. He's not going to be buried with Avram and Yitzchak anymore. He, in theory, Esav really had a chelik. Menadin, he had a chelik. He was a Yorish. You can't take that away from him. He was a Yorish. But he sold it for the money. And then he left Eretz Yisrael to go to Seir, to start his own empire, his evil empire, really build it up. Really, his real evil empire. We don't have time to go into that. His real evil empire started in Seir, and that's when Esav really turned evil. Okay, and Amalek
after
was born.
Yitzchak died.
Yeah, after Yitzchak was dying. If you look when Amalek was born, you see Amalek was born. Amalek, you know, is a grandchild of Esav, right? So Amalek was really born in Seir. You can look and see that from the Pesukim. You have to do a little detective work, but you can see when Amalek was born. So that's when Esav really turned evil. His full evil really occurred only after Yitzchak died. And he sold out the Maaseh Machpelah, and he didn't want the Bris Bein Basarim. He didn't want any portion of that. And he was the whole thing with this Klal Yisrael. He was embarrassed the fact that he was no longer the Bechor. He couldn't take that. That was very embarrassing. The fact that he had original from birth, he has a very prominent position. He was a Bechor. But he lost that. That was very embarrassing for him. Yaakov stole the brachos from him. That was no good for him either. He sold out the Maaseh Machpelah. He didn't need the whole thing. He was done. That day when he decided to sell out and to leave Eretz Canaan and go to, that was when Esav basically turned his back on everything and the whole legacy of Avram Yitzchak. And he basically became Edom, and the real Esav Harasha, the father of Amalek, grandfather of Amalek, right? And that's really what happened on that day. Okay? Now let's see. Oh, this is going pretty quick. It was pretty good. Okay, we'll try to take up. Now let me answer the first question, and then we'll try to put it all together. Okay? The first question of the Stira and the Rashis. How Rashi, on the one hand, says that really it was a great evil that Esav did by not divorcing his first wives. Right? He did, by marrying the third wife, Machlas Bas Yishmael. It was an evil thing because he didn't divorce the first two. But on the other hand, the other Rashi says that it was based on the Medrash, Nassim Daitaliz Gayer, he was intending to convert to Tshuva, join up with Yaakov, right? Not be a real Rashad. He wanted to do tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mochel Avonosav when he was decided he's going to do tshuva. So which one is it? So it's like this, that Rashi's learning, it's not a machlokas between the two of them in Medrash. It's not a machlokas. They both agree. Is that when he first got engaged at the Kiddushin, he was Nasan Daitil Izgayer. He had a mind to convert to do tshuva, and he got engaged to her, and it was good. It was real move to tshuva for Esav. Okay? But there was a time in between. That was when they got engaged. Okay? That was when they got engaged. But when they got married, it was rishus. Okay, Ace of Change. His mind changed. He was no longer doing tshuva. And when he got married, he was really doing evil. Okay, so in between, originally he was doing tshuva, but then by the time he got married, he was no longer doing tshuva. He decided he's not going to change his ways. He's not going to divorce his original wife, and he's going to marry her in addition, and it became a maisa of rishos. As opposed to being a maisa of tshuva, marrying machlas, it became a maisa of rishos, and he didn't divorce the first two, and he continued in his evil ways. Okay, so the resolution to the stira is that one is at the kiddushin, one is at the nisuin. Okay? Oh, why? That's why I didn't tell you the pshat originally. Okay? Sounds ridiculous, right? What kind of ridiculous pshat is this? So I tell you, is what happened in between the kiddushin and the nisuin, between the engagement and the marriage. Something happened that changed Esav's whole outlook. He was originally into tshuva, and then he didn't. What happened in between? Yisrael died later on. Who died? Yishmael. Right, Rashi said Yishmael died.
What Rashi
says that? He says that twice. He says that in the end of Toldos. That's why I said you have to hear the whole thing before you can believe it. Sounds crazy. Rashi, and he says it twice. One is at the end of Toldos. It says Rashi's Anachos Nevayos.
Right.
Right, that Yishmael died after he designated her for Esav, before they got married. And Nevayos is the one who married her off. So what happened in between the engagement and the marriage? Yishmael died. And that precipitated a change of Esav. He was going to do tshuva, Yishmael dies, and then he doesn't. Then he goes back to this other way. Okay, so we see really from this, Esav, okay, we see that, and you know Yishmael also was a tzaddik when he died. How do we know that? Right? And we know Yishmael was a tzaddik, because if you look at the end of Parshas Chaye Sara, right? Oh, it's all there, it's in Rashi, it's from his Rashi. He says like this, it says, Perchav hey pasuk yid alvai he achrei mo oh no, a little bit earlier. It's perchav hey pasuk tes. It says vayikbur oso Yitzchak when Avram dies. Vayikbur oso Yitzchak v'yishmal banav el maris machpela el steafron ben sochar achiti asher al panei mamre. So it says Yitzchak v'yishmal, even though Yishmal was older, right? It puts Yitzchak before Yishmal. Why? It says mikanch asi Yishmal tshuva v'holich es Yitzchak lefanav. Right, so Yishmael's chait, what drove Yishmael's real chait was he can't put Yitzchak before him. He can't recognize, that's the right, the Yishmael, they can't recognize that Klal Yisrael is above them. Right, it was Avram chose Yitzchak, and that was his favorite son. That was his son. I shouldn't say favorite son. That was the HaKadosh Baruch who chose, right, Yitzchak, and not Yishmael. And Yishmael got sent away, and that is what always what drove Yishmael to sin. But Yishmael, when Avram died, Yishmael did tshuva. Right, this is the day that Yaakov got the Bechor from Esav, but day that Avram died. But you see, Yishmael took it as a good thing, and he did tshuva. Mikanchas Yishmael tshuva, v'holich as Yitzlefanav, v'hi seva tova shenemar b'Avram. And that was the old age, the good old age, seva tova. That Avram died, and that both his sons were tzaddikim. Yitzchak was a tzaddik, and Yishmael did tshuva. And that was when Esav was 15 years old. Right now. Yishmael died when Esav was 63. Right, so that's 48 years later. But you see that Yishmael was still a tzaddik, because it says in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayigva, right, Ve'ele Shnei Chayei Yishmael, Me'a Shana, Me'shloshim Shana, Ve'sheva Shana, Vayigva, Vayamas, Ve'yasef Elmav. So Vayigva, Lo Nemra Gviya, Ve'asifa, Ela Betzadikim. Right, so you see when Yishmael, right, when Avram died, he was a tzaddik, and when he died, he was still a tzaddik. So you see Yishmael was, when Yishmael died, Vayigva, Vasifa, it's only by tzaddikim. So Yishmael was a tzaddik also, okay? He did tshuva. So what we have is, if you look at Esav, is the major events of his life, of when he sold the Bechor, in the beginning of Parshas Toldos, he's 15 years old, that was on the day that Avraham dies, okay? Then, after he loses the Brachos at the end of Toldos, he's 63 years old, he decides, he sees that Yitzchak is not happy with this whole thing, he decides he wants to do tshuva, he's going to marry a different girl, change his life. Okay? And then Yishmael dies, and he breaks bad again. That causes him to flip back. That causes him to go Hosef Rishal Rishaso. He decides, no, he's not going to change his life. Rather, he's going to build and make it even worse. Okay? He doesn't divorce the first two. And then finally, the culmination of when he really breaks the total evil, and he sells the Maras Machpelah. He sells his share in right, the eternal identification with Avraham and Yitzchak. And he leaves Eretz Yisrael for good. He denies it. He rejects the Bris Bein of Asarim. Right? When does that happen? That happens the day that Yitzchak dies. Okay? So it's like these three people, his major figures, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yishmael. Right? Uncle Yishmael, right? He's a little older than Yitzchak. When they die, those are major moments in Esau's life, and those always invariably has the same reaction to those things. It causes him to really reject the truth, the Torah, the idea of Klal Yisrael, and go towards evil. He doesn't handle the death of Big Tzadikim very well. Okay, you have a question?
How did Yishmael affect Esav? Like, what was his impact on Esav?
Well, before Yishmael died, he was going to do tshuva. He was marrying this girl, Yishmael's daughter. He went to Yishmael to do tshuva, to marry a different kind of a girl, to start a new kind of life. Okay, but then by the time then Yishmael dies, and Esav decides, no, I'm not going to start a new way of life. I'm not going to divorce these other two women. Rather, I'll still marry her, but I'm going to add her into my prior framework of evil, and I'm just going to build upon that. I'm not going to do tshuva. Hosef Rishal Rishaso, he didn't do tshuva. He was still Esav Harasha. He didn't become a big tzaddik.
Right.
Okay, he would have had mechila if he had followed through. Okay, if he had followed through on his original intent, if Yishmael hadn't died, very possibly, you see, that he might have done full tshuva. He really might have done tshuva. He might have had real mechila.
What instigated this whole process of tshuva? It seemed like he was pretty angry. It doesn't seem like this was... Like,
oh, what made Esav do it?
It doesn't seem like
you
he
see, that's why I think the pshat is his gayer. It's because until the point of the brachos, when they're 63, it's true Esav sold his bechor to Yaakov. He sold his bechor. So that's... Now they've become equal. You know what I mean? He's no longer the firstborn. They're equal. But Esav is still Bechlal Klal Yisrael. He's still Zerah of Yitzchak. It's Avram Yitzchak. And you see Esav, Yitzchak was still going to give him the brachos. Right? Until Yaakov goes in there and steals the brachos. Okay? And takes the brachos from him. And it was supported by Ruach HaKodesh. Otherwise, it wouldn't have worked. If it hadn't been, Yaakov was really deserving of it. And Esav really wasn't. It wouldn't have happened. But until that point, Esav was the guy. And Yitzchak was grooming him to be the guy. He was going to give him the brachos. Yitzchak was going to make Esav the top guy. And Yaakov would have been secondary to him. But when Yaakov took the brachos, and then Yitzchak gives him the birchos of Ram. And Rashi there says that the whole Lech Lecha, Eschel Goy Gadol, is going to be through Yaakov and not Esav. That's what Yitzchak said to him. So then that's the point where really Esav got cut out. And he realized what he's losing. He's losing the entire legacy of Avram Avinu. He's been cut out of. He was the guy. And now he's not going to be that guy anymore. And he realized he's losing something of tremendous value. And he wanted back in. And he was going to go do tshuva. And the way he started to do tshuva is by marrying a girl, not from these Canaanim girls who Yitzchak and Rivka hate. Really, Yitzchak he cared about, not Rivka. They didn't get along so good, Esav and Rivka. But Yitzchak he cared about. And he realized that this is the way to change his life is by divorcing those two girls and starting a new life with the Bas Yishmael, the granddaughter of Avraham. And that was really what would have changed his whole life. And he wanted back in. He nasan daitel isgayer. He wanted back in to the fold, back into the whole Birchas Avram. He didn't want to be cut out. He wanted to be part of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Esav. That's what he wanted. He was afraid. He saw that this is no good. And he was going to. But then something happens. Yishmael dies, and by the time he gets around to marrying her, Machlos, he decides he's not going to divorce the other two. He's not going to really change his ways. He's just going to keep going in that same way of life.
So Avraham's death prompted him for tshuva, Yishmael's death prompted him for...
Well, I'm saying not that he prompted for tshuva. It's the opposite. Is those events, caused him to do the opposite.
Right.
Avram, Esav didn't react well. He wasn't doing well before Avram died that day. You see, he came in from the field. He had already killed somebody. He was already on it was a bad day for him. But, he had raped a girl. He had killed somebody. But he hadn't sold the Bechor. He hadn't been Mevazav Odas Hashem. He hadn't fully, there was five sins he did that day. Two or three of them happened after he found out that Avram died. Okay, and you'll see the Medrash really... in Toldos corroborates this.
That's not our scroll.
No, it's not our scroll. But it says like this. It's Medrash Rab. It's Samach Gimel Yud Aleph. Okay, so in the very beginning, when Esav comes in from the field, and he sees Vayazid Yaakov Nazid. Yaakov's cooking the stew, right? The stew is the beans, lentil beans, right? Because they're round, Rashi says, and Avil eats round. So that's, you know, Yaakov Avram died. So he says, Amar lo, mativo shenazid zeh. Esav says to Yaakov, what's the deal with this stew, right? Why are you making lentils, right? Amar lo, shemeso sazakin. So Yaakov says to Esav, they're 15 years old, he says, Avram died. Our grandfather, Oso Zakin, Avram, he died today. Amar, Esav says, but Oso Zakin, Pagamidas Adin, Avraham, the great Avraham, this is like the greatest person who's ever lived in the world. Midas Adin got him, he died also. He's like shocked. How can Midas Adin get to Avraham? Amar lo, Hain, he says, yeah. So Yaakov says, yeah. Midas Adin gets everybody. Everybody dies, even Avraham. Amar, Imkain, lo matan schar, lo tchias mesim. If that's the case, the Avram dies, and there's no schar, there's no tchias mesim, right? And he basically, that was it. He rejected everything. And then that was, right, then the story continues of Yaakov says, how about the Bechor? You want to sell that, you know? So you see, Esav has these bad days every so often. And Yaakov is there to take advantage of that. You know, maybe you don't want the Bechor. That Maris Machpelah, you're not really interested. The day Yitzchak dies, it shatters him. Yitzchak is his whole life is Yitzchak. Esav looks up to him. He idolizes him. He's a Yitzchak. He cares so much about Yitzchak's opinion. And when Yitzchak dies, it's a bad day for Esav. And Yaakov says, you know what? Do you really need this? Maybe you want some money. You want to sell the Maris Machpelah. You see, Yaakov wasn't trying to do Kiruv. Yaakov was trying to do Richak on Esav. He knew that Esav was a Rasha, and he didn't want to be... The problem is Esav had Zchusim. Esav has rights. He's a son of Yitzchak. He has rights. He's a Bechor. He's a firstborn. You can't take that away from him. It's legitimately his. And he has a right to Maris Machpelah. He has a right to at least one of those. He's a Yoresh. Maybe even, right? If he hadn't sold him, maybe get both of them. He should get a double portion. But what you have to do is you have to get Esav to sell out. And get out of Klal Yisrael. Sell out of his chelik in Yitzchak. And that's what Yaakov does. He takes, when he sees, and Esav's a Rasha. Yaakov did obviously the right thing. Except for the Dina case, which we're not going to have time to go into. Okay, we put her in a box. He didn't want Esav to do tshuva. The whole story. Not going to have time for that. That was not the Chazal criticized him for that. Because he would have, right, Esav had married Dina. That might have, the right girl for Esav would have changed him. But that might have changed Esav. And Yaakov didn't want that to happen, and now he's criticized. But we're not going to the Mice of Dina.
But he doesn't have to be a Russia, because he was going to be, he was going to do tshuva. So,
Who?
Esav.
When was he going to do tshuva?
When he was...
Before he got married. I mean...
When he's 63, at the Brachos.
Yeah.
At the Brachos, yeah, but the Dina thing is 20 years later.
Okay, fine. Just it's possible he's going to do tshuva.
Oh, that happened on its own. Yaakov was, when Yishmael died and Esav flipped back, he had done tshuva and he flipped back.
Mm-hmm.
That was not with Yaakov. Yaakov was already gone. He was in Shem Vav, he was already learning Torah. That happened, Esav was by Yishmael.
So,
I was speaking about the when Avram died and Yitzchak died. When Yaakov got him to sell his Bechor, and Yaakov got him to sell the Maris Machpelah. So those are the days that when Avram died...
Yeah, but he just had bad days. How does that make him a Russia?
Oh, he was a Russia. Because he came in from the field. He had killed somebody. He had killed Nimrod. He had stolen his clothes. He was taking over Nimrod's empire.
He was going to do tshuva.
Oh, well, you're confusing 2 days. When he was 15 years old?
The time happened when he was younger than when he was going to do tshuva, right?
Oh, no. He sinned his whole life. When he was 63, he had in mind to do tshuva.
Right,
at some point.
So that's all you mean.
That would have been fine, but he didn't. He didn't do tshuva then.
But he can. He could.
He could have.
Yeah, he just had a bad day.
Yeah, right. But you don't say that maybe Esav will do tshuva, and therefore let Esav be the one who inherits, gets the Bechor. Let Esav be in the Maris Machpelah.
That's his right.
It's his right, but you don't take the risk that Esav is not going to do tshuva, and the whole future of Klal Yisrael is going to be jeopardized. Because the Maris Machpelah is going to have Esav's next to Leah. You don't do that. You know what I mean? If Esav, you can't risk the entire future of Klal Yisrael and Avram's Zera on the fact that this guy is a Russian, maybe he'll do tshuva. If he does tshuva, great. But until he does tshuva, Yaakov uses his cunning, his intelligence, to get to take advantage of Esav's emotional states when he sees these great people die. He's the Midas Adin. Esav has a real problem with the Midas Adin, recognizing it. It causes him to really reject everything. He can't handle the Midas Adin. When he sees great tzaddikim die, and he just can't take that's his, like, he can't take it. And Yaakov realizes he's a Rasha, and he says, maybe you don't want that Bechor, or maybe you don't want the Maris and Machpelah. And he needs to, because if Yaakov doesn't get it from Esav, if Yaakov doesn't legitimately buy the Maris and Machpelah from Esav, then when Yaakov dies and his sons are going to bury him there, and Esav says, hey, that's mine, you can't stop him, because it is his. You can't do anything about it. The only thing they could say is, look, you sold it. We have a shtar. Naphtali, go back to Mitzrayim to go get the shtar. That you can do. But you have to, Yaakov had to work his whole life. He had to be working. How he can get all this chosin that Esav had, how he can get Esav to sell out, to get out of there, to basically back off his claim to being the son of Avram Yitzchak Yitzchak, and basically give up his legacy as being part of Klal Yisrael. And it worked, and Esav left, and he left, and he started his own empire in Seir, and he left Eretz Yisrael. But it was, you know, it's not, we don't have time, but to develop it further, but you see that Yaakov crossed the line once with the Dina, because she could have been maybe Chozer B'tshuva, and Yaakov didn't let Dina marry Esav. Okay, that's a whole, it's a different thing. But in general, there was the right thing for Yaakov to do. But he tricked him. He tricked him, and it wasn't like Min Hadin. Esav was like, Esav has a certain claim that Yaakov really tricked him, and it was wrong what Yaakov did to him. And that's really, if you look at Yaakov's, if you look at the bracha that Yitzchak gives Esav, if you look at the bracha, where is that bracha? It's towards the end of Toldos. It says right. It's Perek Chav Zion, Pasuk Mem. What does it mean, kasha tarid? Rashi says, lashon sar, kmo arid b'sichi. Kolomar, kishi yavr Yisrael ha-Torah. When Klal Yisrael doesn't keep the Torah, v'yilech al pischon peh, lehitztar al ha-bracha shenatal. Then you're going to have a certain opening, a pischon peh, you have a justification. Esav has a justification to say, hey, they took the brachos from me, and they're not keeping the Torah. U'farakta ulo me'atz ha-verecha. Then Esav throws off the Yaakov, and Esav rises up, and Yaakov falls down. Right, they're always inversely related. When Klal Yisrael doesn't keep the Torah, then Klal Yisrael falls and Esav rises up. Because really, he's pischon peh. There's something to be said that Yaakov really had it for him. Esav had it all. He would have basically had his olam hazeh. He would have had his taivas, and he tricked Yitzchak. Right, he was a tricky guy, and he would have basically had it. Were not for Yaakov, who sabotaged him, he would have had it. Yaakov basically sabotaged his whole plan. But his plan was basically to deceive Yitzchak and keep the legacy of Avraham, and also live the life he wanted to lead. Okay. I have one last thing. Any questions before I do the last thing?
I mean, what would not having him buried in the Machpelah like effectuate? Like, what was the...
If Esav had been there?
Yeah.
If Esav, oh, I mean, why is
it
so
already
important?
He's already like out of the...
It seems like he wasn't 100% out. It seems like, even though it's true that from the time that the brachos, when they were 63, he was like, not Esav wasn't really going to be. It was going to be basically Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. It's still Esav could have been, still could have lived in Eretz Yisrael. Apparently, it seems like the Bris Mishnah would have still applied to him to a certain degree, and he could have still had a chelek in Klal Yisrael. Maybe he wouldn't have been. He maybe would have been secondary. How exactly, what his role would have been, it's not clear, but he would have had some sort of role.
That's for the cave or something?
Yeah, until he sold out of Maris Mechpelah and he left Eretz Yisrael and he went to Seir, he still had some opportunity to be part of it.
He's really estranged at that point.
At that point, when Yitzchak died?
Yeah, once he's gotten rid of everything, he's like the estranged.
Oh, once he sold the Maris Mechpelah.
Yeah.
But that was the end of it. Yeah. That was the absolute end. Once he sold and left, that was the end. But until that point, even though it's true he didn't have the brachos, so he wasn't going to be the guy. Even though he sold the Bechor, a very embarrassing thing for him, so he had sold out to a certain degree, the Bechor, and he lost the brachos, but he still could have had some role. What exactly would have been, I don't know.
Yeah.
But and then at the end, when Yitzchak died, he sold his Maris Machpelah, and he left. That was really it. Okay? So I just want to take up on this final theme. I don't really have time to develop this whole idea, and it's not really clear. It could be developed more. But I'm basically trying to say that Esau's major problem, if you look at these events in his life, is he can't tolerate Midas Adin. Midas Adin is a scary thing that God punishes people, even Tzaddikim. And like, it's not an easy thing for people to... People can deal with rachamim, that God loves you, God has mercy on you. That's like a thing that people can relate to, and they want to hear that. But the fact that God punishes you, and he could kill you, and he could... And he does these things, and even to Avraham Avinu dies, Yitzchak dies, these great people die, that's something that's not, to the religious mind, it's not something that they want to hear. Okay, and that's Esav's, his inability to deal with the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Mishpat, of Din.
But natural death, but has nothing to do with it.
Right. Midos
HaDin. Not, what do you mean, the fact that Avraham died?
Yeah, people die. That's natural.
That's Midos HaDin still. It's still Midas HaDin, that person should die. I mean, it's because of the Chet of Adam Rishon, whatever you're going to say, but it's still Din, the fact that people die.
But it's not like they were cursed and they died, like, had a young life or something.
Right. But the fact that a tzaddik like Avraham dies, the fact that he dies, it bothers Esav. He shouldn't. There shouldn't be such a thing like that. That's still Din. Avraham dying is still Din. Still dead, because you without the chait, with Amy's below chait, without chait, a person even people don't die. Other Rishon's only because he sinned, and Klal Yisrael really, right? That Rashi, they wouldn't have been subject to Misa were not for the chait of the Egel, right? And you most Mashiach Alam Haba, you're not going to have Misa. Malchamavis, right? That the Gemara and Sukkah, you're not going to have Misa. So the fact that there is Misa in the world, the phenomenon of Misa is a manifestation of din, it's a manifestation of chait on some level, any Misa, even a natural death. Right, it's the fact that we're subject to natural law and that people die, even great tzaddikim, is a fact of Midas HaDin. Pure rachamim, people don't die. If it's pure rachamim, you shouldn't die. Okay?
That's a lot of rachamim.
That's a lot of rachamim. Correct. Okay, you have to like appreciate the, to appreciate the difficulty that people have relating to God as Midas HaDin, that there is such a thing as Midas HaDin. You have to accept that and you have to deal with it. To deal with that fact, and it's not an easy thing in a person's mind to accept and to recognize. Certainly not Esau's mind. Okay, but now I'm just going to read. It's from the book A Little History of the World. It's on page 16. Okay, now it's like an interesting thing. I'm just going to connect. You know that Esau, Chazal say, was Rome, right? We said in the beginning, Esau really became Rome. Achar b'chatichya, the Roman legions and their sword, and whatever, what eventually what happened to Rome, right? They all became Christians. Right, Christianity basically took over. The whole empire converted Constantinople or whatever it is. They became Christians, right? Christianity came from Rome. Okay, so I want to read you. This is from, because I'm not really holding in the New Testament. You know, I'm not holding. But it's for, he's a quotes here from the New Testament. I just want to show you. It's like, it reminds me very much of the problem of Esau. Okay, fine. So this, he's talking about the teachings, okay? The teachings in the New Testament. What the teachings of Jesus here, okay? So he's teaching you that all men are God's children and that the love of his father, of this father, right, of God is infinite, that before him no man is without sin, but that God has pity on sinners, that what matters is not judgment, but mercy. Okay? That's what matters. Not judgment, not din, but rachamim. Now you know what mercy is, right? This is the right talking the great giving and forgiving love of God. That's mercy, and that we should treat others as we hope God our Father will treat us. That is why Jesus said, okay, listen to Jesus. This is a crazy. Listen to this theory. This is a quote, okay, from the New Testament. Love your enemies, right? Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other one. If he takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everybody who asks you, and if anybody takes that what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Okay? There's no mishpat. A guy steals from you, give him something more. Okay, you make a loan, don't ask for him to repay it. You see, because paying back a loan is mishpat. Okay, he punches you, don't punch him back, give him the other cheek. See, it's a theory of absolute rachamim. That is really, if you think about the philosophy, it's really the metaphysics of Christianity. Is they took the Midas HaRachamim of pure love and they said relate to God through Jesus as pure love. pure rachamim, and they cut out midas adin.
He got all of it. It's concentrated.
Well, midas adin. Midas adin is for the sinners. If you don't accept Jesus, then you get pure midas adin. That's their hell. They basically split up midas adin and midas rachamim. If you accept Jesus, then you have pure rachamim. If you don't accept him, then you have pure din. And that's like the worst hell, Gehenim. That's their worst hell. But they try, the whole philosophy, the metaphysics of Christianity is based upon this idea of you can't accept the fact that the midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu are both. There's rachamim and there's din. Okay, Klal Yisrael is we have Hashem Elokim. We have din and we have rachamim. And you have to be able to relate to God in both frameworks. They're, both things are true. Okay, we don't just say that if you love some person, then you're not going to, you know, there's no mishpat for you. There's no judgment. No, if a person sins, there's mishpat. Right? There's always onesh. You can't bribe God with any particular thing you do. If there's sin, there's going to be mishpat. Now, there's racham and there's mishpat. There's both. But the Christians, and I'm saying it comes from really from Esav's sin, it's like an inability to tolerate the idea that God punishes a person of midas adin. And because of that, they have to split off these two things, and they're totally love, pure, a religion of love, absolute love. You love everybody else. You don't pay back your loans. He doesn't pay back his loans. He punches you, punch him again. You can't hate your enemies. You love everybody, and we don't believe in that. We hate Amalek. You hate the... You can't
perfect.
The Torah holds you have to. You love Klal Yisrael, v'afterecha kamocha, but Amalek, evil. Who do you hate him? Amalek is your mitzvah to hate Amalek, to speak about it, right? The grandson of Esav, to really hate it. Okay, that's the metaphysics. That's the metaphysics of the Torah, is you have these midos of rachamim and you have din. You have to be able to tolerate the fact that God relates to us through both of these things, both of these frameworks. Esav can't tolerate the din. Okay, I'm saying Christianity, I think, came out of that same flaw. It's like an inability to tolerate the fact that God acts to us in ways of mishpat and judgment, and there's no way around that unless you don't sin. But insofar as you do sin, you're going to have to recognize God punishes people. Even tzaddikim die, everybody has sin. And you can't reject God, you can't split up his midos and pretend that one doesn't exist. That's Ace of Sin. I think that's the underlying cause of the corrupt metaphysics of Christianity.
Yeah, they have both. In Jesus.
No, Jesus is totally love. For them, Jesus is pure love, absolute love. You love, if you believe in Jesus, you get pure love, pure mercy. There's no mishpat with it whatsoever. All your sins are forgiven.
Him himself has both.
Oh, yeah, he suffered for your sins.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. Somehow.
Thanks, Jesus.
Right, right. They concentrate the din on him. Right, you're right, correct. They take the midas adin, they say, all of us, Jesus suffered for that. Yeah. If you accept him, you get pure rachamim, and if you don't, you get pure din. Yeah. But they basically split them up. We hold there's a tarobas, right? We hold there's always a tarobas and mishpat and rachamim. They're always combined together. Everything is mishpat and rachamim. It's always a combination. And you have to be able to recognize both things. Not pure din, but not pure rachamim. It's always a combination. That's the metaphysics of Judaism. It's always a combination. Okay, but for Christianity, you see what they did. I'm saying you see the same psychological flaws, this inability to relate to God that he does mishpat. Okay, cool. Any questions or?
Did you pick that today's Dafka
or what? Oh, well, very good.
That was good. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize either.
No time.
What happened? Well, today?
December 25th. Is there a way that